Hello, everybody. So I guess we can start. Thanks for coming. I will talk about Traceloop and Inspector Gadget. First, my name is Alban. I work on Kitfolk as a CTO and one of the co-founders and working on a lot of Kubernetes and BPF things. So Traceloop and Inspector Gadget, that's two open source projects on GitHub. Traceloop is about tracing system calls a bit similar to stress, but in a different way. It uses cgroup, some BPF, and overwritable ring buffer. I will talk about later about that. And Inspector Gadget is not on a single node, but on a Kubernetes level. It's a collection of gadgets of different kind to trace different aspects, like when opening new file or tracing when new process are created, etc. So that's a collection of gadgets for developers of Kubernetes to help them debug their application. So I will talk a bit about the context of why those tools exist. At Kinfolk, we have this stack with a Linux distribution called Flatcar Linux, which is a OS optimized for containers. On top of that, we have a Locomotive, which is a Kubernetes distribution. And this kind of tools, Inspector Gadget, is a tool which sits on top of that, which offers more high-level tools for Kubernetes developers. All of this is open source. And on Flatcar, the Linux distribution, we have different channels of for release. We have the traditional alpha, beta, stable. When something is new, it goes to alpha first, and after a while to beta, and when stable to stable. But recently, we added a new channel of distribution called Edge. That's for experimental things, so there is no guarantee at all here, but we can experiment with adding some new BPF feature or cgroup features or some anything we like to experiment on. So the context is to work on that, but Traceloop and Inspector Gadget, in the end, only use normal Linux feature, so it doesn't need to run on Flatcar or Locomotive. It can run on any other Linux system. On Inspector Gadget as well, doesn't need to. It needs to run on Kubernetes, but it doesn't need to run on specific Kubernetes distribution. Although at the moment, it's a lot easier to start with Locomotive because it's a bit bleeding edge, so that it requires new features in different places. So before going more into details about those two tools, I will give an introduction to other BPF tracing tools on how that were more old and that Inspector Gadget rely on to do the work. First, BCC. So just a quick check. How many of you have heard or used BCC? OK, almost everybody. That's good. So you already know that. It's a collection of BPF programs that serve two purposes. That's a collection of tools which are really useful for tracing your Linux system. But it's also useful for learning BPF because it gives us a lot of examples, and it shows how you can do things in different areas, in network, in S tracing, and so on. I will quickly show you the website if I can. Just so you see how the list of tools that are there, a lot of examples, this schema you have seen before, and a lot of tools where you can see the source code in BPF and example how to do things. So you can see how it works. But this is something which is for that runs on a single node, that's mostly command line tools. It can also run in a container. That's what I show here. Here in a Docker container, I run some BCC tools. And there is another tool separate from BCC that is independent called BPF Trace. So with BPF Trace, you can write a lot of one-liner code on the command line. It doesn't use the same C language as to write your BPF code as a BCC. But it's a new language with inspiration from Hawk and C. And I will show you the website as well, because it has a lot of examples. So here you can see some one-liners. where in a single line of code, you can add a trace point on the executed BPF program that will count how many syscalls of all the syscalls. You will see the syscall close will cross 3,000 times and so on. And there are other examples below with other one-liners and a lot of tools based on BPF trace. So that's another way to write BPF programs that are useful for tracing. Okay. So here is the same screenshot. So those two tools, BPF trace and the tools from BCC, they are both single node on a command line. But they would be useful to run on a Kubernetes level as well. So what do we need to do to adapt them to Kubernetes? First, usually the granularity of the tracing should be different. In Kubernetes, we care about pods. We don't really care about tracing this specific process, this PID, but we are more high level and we want to trace a full pod. Usually, we don't care on which node is running this pod. We want to have a user interface where we just say we want to trace this pod and the system will do what it needs. And we need to address the pods although by a Kubernetes label, which is a very useful way. If you know kubectl, you probably know that is more practical than always check the name of pods. What I want is a kubectl-like user experience where developers don't need to SSH to any nodes, but instead we use the traditional kubectl user interface. There is a project doing that called kubectl trace. So what it does, it takes BPF trace programs and schedules them on one node of your Kubernetes cluster. It achieves a lot of the goals listed before, but there is a couple of things which are a bit missing that I will show after. Kubectl trace work in this way. You on your laptop, you type the command kubectl trace. It means it's a plugin to the kubectl client-side CLI tool. And when you type that, it will execute the binary kubectl trace. And then from the on, it will only talk to the API server of Kubernetes. It will not SSH to any node, but instead use the normal Kubernetes way of creating pods, creating config maps, configuration, and so on. So when you ask to trace something, the API server will end up starting a pod on Kubernetes called Trace Runner that will execute your BPF program and then install the BPF program in the Linux kernel. And then it will catch up, get the logs from that, and return that to the UI. So that's the couple of things a bit missing in kubectl trace at the moment. It's not so easy to filter the trace on a specific pod, because at the beginning, BPF trace were more designed to run on a single system where you can filter on a PID. But on the Kubernetes level, we don't want that user interface where the user has to check which PID is running and so on. So there are a couple of issues to track that. Here is a demo that I tried a few months ago, where you can run a kubectl trace and run a BPF trace program that is here on the command line. And here I was able to filter on a specific pod by saying I want to use to trace everything running in this C group. It's not so practical because the C group you need to specify the C group ID, and here you need to find which C group is running your pod on, and so that's not a perfect user interface yet. So as a summary, what I've talked so far, I talk about BPF trace you can run on a node, about kubectl trace that you can run on a Kubernetes level, about BCC, and so the next part of the talk is what can we do with BCC to run that on Kubernetes. So I guess you have guessed so far. What I will talk about is Inspector Gadget. Inspector Gadget is has a similar architecture to kubectl trace. It's a kubectl plugin as well. So I will show a quick demo here. Can you see what's on the screen, or is it very dark? Okay. Can you make it black and white? Is it better?
It's just a contrast of the screen.
Okay. Okay.
That's the terminal profile.
Okay, sorry about that. That's good. So here I'm showing I have a Kubernetes cluster running a few pods, and I show the labels they are using, so they have different labels. I will show this one, for example. I use a kubectl get pod to get the YAML description of that and check the commands. So it's just a single pod running a single easy command that tries to run the command nice repetitively. If I check the logs of that, you see it doesn't work because it doesn't have the right capability. I didn't configure it correctly. So now I will show you a tool in Inspector Gadget that could help to debug that. So Inspector Gadget can be called either on the command line like this. Okay. Where you have a list of gadgets. One of them is called capabilities. What it does, capabilities, you can select a pod and it will show you in real time what are the capabilities requested by that pod. So there is different way to select the pod. You can give the pod name or you can select by label. So for now, I will just give the name. And hopefully it works. Okay. Ooh. It requests a lot of capabilities here. Oh, sorry. I didn't set the pod name correctly. So it was showing all the process instead of filtering correctly on the pod I asked for. So now, as you see, it requests only capsysnice, which is what you expect when you can run the command nice. And it does that every 5 seconds because in the script, I had a slip 5. I have other gadgets to show as well. For example, execsnoop. It will show you every time a new process is created, what is the command of that process. And I can filter by label. And then I can say I want all the label my app equals something. Now it should only filter the process in that pod with that label. And every time this process, this pod creates a new process, it displays that here. So that's it for execpod. There is a few other gadgets. Some of them are not implemented yet. Some of them are more or less complete. But there is some to trace network TCP connections or every time a file is open, and so on. All of this is not created from scratch. What I did, I just picked the BCC scripts that already exist with a small modification to adapt them, and then Inspector Gadget run them. So all of this so far relies on what is already written in BCC. OK. So what are the challenges of doing that, of writing Inspector Gadget? The first one is how to select the pod. Because when you install a BPF program with a kprobe or transparency, that's something installed on a Linux kernel, and the Linux kernel doesn't care about containers. It only sees a lot of process. So the BPF program will run for all the process, all the containers. There are a few BPF helper functions that can be useful for selecting, filtering what you want to see and, or not see to get the name of the process, but that's not really useful because name of process can be changed. That doesn't really tell you which container it is. The PID, but yeah, we want to trace several PID, not only one. What is more useful for me is filtering on a cgroup ID, because every container should run normally in a different cgroup, so that's a good way to filter the pod. For this, I need Linux 4.18, so a fairly recent one. Another thing, here I talk about cgroup ID, but there are actually several cgroup subsystem on Linux. There is a cgroup version 1 with several ones, and cgroup version 2. And this BPFL per function only returns the cgroup version 2 ID. So how it works, on systemd, you could have a directory like that with cgroup version 2 hierarchy. And then on this directory, you have the system call name to handle hat, which returns the That's the signal. I will try to reply. Okay, it's back. Cool. So this system call name to handle at returns the cgroup ID. The problem is on Kubernetes. Kubernetes normally only use cgroup version 1 so far. So on here, I need cgroup version 2. So what can be done? Systemd helps us a lot here, because in systemd you can configure it to enable both cgroup version 1 and cgroup version 2. And then all the other components that create cgroups, we need to take care to configure them to let systemd set up the cgroup system and not let them create cgroups by themselves. So there is a lot of configuration, but in Flatcar Linux on the Edge channel is already done for you. Then, in the BPF program, you need to filter on a specific cgroup ID. So here I have some pseudo BPF code, so it's a bit more complex than that, but that's just to illustrate. Where when you ask on the command line to filter only on one specific label, what I have is a BPF maps, which are a kind of global variable, which are prefilled with all the Kubernetes labels for the pods that exist on the system. And the BPF program will look up the cgroup ID and look for this cgroup, what are the BPF, the Kubernetes labels, and filter on them. So at the moment, that's a proof of concept that works like that with some strict manipulation. It's back. But there are work to be done to be more efficient working with ID instead of strings. How do we prepare these BPF maps with all the Kubernetes labels? What I do is I use OCI hooks. So on Kubernetes, every time a container is started, it will start run C by default and run OCI hooks. Well, I added a script there to fetch every time a container is started, fetch the Kubernetes label and fill those BPF maps. Okay, so if you want to try Inspector Gadget, it's easier to do it with Flatcar Linux on Locomotive so far, but you can look at the instruction for installing that. You can also do it yourself on other system, although it's a bit more difficult, but you can get help from the instruction on GitHub. It says what you need to do there. Oops. Okay. So now I go to a more interesting gadget in Inspector Gadget, which is called a trace loop. So the use case is, as a developer, I like to use strace to get to know what system calls are executed on when I want to debug an application. But strace is a bit problematic. It's slow, so you cannot just enable strace for every process on all your cluster. That will not work. And sometimes I want to debug something that has just crashed, and it's too late to add a strace there. So I cannot really add strace retroactively if the program just crashed and it doesn't crash reliably. So the idea is to have a flight recorder system that records all the syscalls all the time for all your pods, but in an efficient way, which doesn't have the disadvantage of trace, which will not work for enabling everywhere. So that's something trace loop does with BPF. And everything is recorded all the time, but it's not saved anywhere. It's only saved in memory in a ring buffer. And only when needed, I will get this information. So if I compare stress on stress loop, it has several differences. Stress capture the syscall using ptrace on Linux. Stress loop use BPF instead. Stress, you have to specify which process you want to trace. So the granularity is the process. Stress loop instead does that on a C group level. So all the process in that C group will be traced. Stress is slow, stress loop is fast, and that's because stress is reliable, so it's working in a synchronous way. You get the events as they happen, and it cannot lose events. In comparison, stress loop is working in an asynchronous way, so it writes events in a ring buffer. So if the ring buffer is full, then events will be overwritten, and you theoretically it's possible to lose events this way. But still, that makes it very useful to, for debugging. How it works, that's a bit different than other gadgets. I install a BPF program on the trace point C center, so every time a syscall is executed for all processes on the system, it will execute this BPF program, and then it will check if the current C group of that process need to be traced or not. So for all pods, it will redirect the execution to a different BPF program, and then each pod will have its own ring buffer where the syscalls are stored. So the syscalls are permanently stored in that ring buffer in memory, but then it's only sent to the user space only when the user requests it. So normally it's not saved continuously because it would be too slow, but only on demand. Okay, so I will show you a demo of trace loop, first as a standalone tool. Okay. So what I will do here, run a trace loop, but on the specific C groups, the one for SSH. So now it's starting, it's recording everything that happened on that C group. I will put the process in the background. And then let me just start a new terminal and do SSH. So something should happen here. Okay, and actually I didn't need to put it in the background. And so now it's recording everything, but nothing is visible because nothing is sent to user space. And when I stop this, here it dumps the last syscalls of SSH that were in the ring buffer. So I see different syscalls with the parameters like this. And then I can show you how it works in on Kubernetes, so not only on the command line here, but using kubectl. So if I do kubectl get pod, I can I will start a new pod. So this is doing some operation in the scripts, a multiplication, sending that to the BC program, saving that to a file, and then attempting to print that file. So if I do that, what will happen? As you might guess, it will not work correctly. So here, I don't know if I have internet working or not, but because the this file is different than this file, so I did a mistake in my script. I don't use the correct Kubernetes cluster, sorry. So here, there is an error. So what I can do now is, with kubectl gadget, use trace loop to see what I can do here. So here I can list the existing trace. So even though my program finished and terminated, I still have a trace that has kept for a little while. And I can show this trace using a trace loop. And now it lists the last system calls of the program. So if I go does it work? Cool. I think I have a problem in my demo. I didn't trace the right thing, but you get the idea here. Okay. Here, this is the kind of trace you can see. Here, you have a write system call. For some of the arguments, I print the buffer, and some is not implemented yet. How does it work behind the scene? It uses Linux perforin buffers that, if you want to see the documentation, is in a manual page for perf event open. And here, I can put different kind of message. They can be of different size, but they, because of the way it's implemented, it needs to be a power of two size. So what does trace loop do? It adds a message in the ring buffer every time there is a new syscall on syscall enter. And for every parameter that we is traced, we add an additional message. And then when the system call returns, another message. And all of these messages are reconstructed to reconstruct the system call in user space on demand. All the system calls on Linux are different with different parameters. So trace loop parse the description in CSFS, which contain in a text format what are the different parameters, and it parses that as startup to know the different format. This is a method which is inspired from trace left, which is another eBPF syscall framework that we worked on before. After having passed this all the syscall format, this is sent to a BPF map in memory so that the BPF program can read that and know for each syscall system call what to do. So from that, it knows that the system call close doesn't have any string to dereference. The system call open has a path name, and the system call write as a buffer with the size specified in a different argument, and so on. Lastly, I would like to show how trace loop can be integrated with systemd. So that's more a wish list of than something which is well implemented, but I will show you what the idea is. I would like if systemd run at the exec start pre command, so I could say, here, start to record whatever happened on this systemd unit, and then run the program. So this option doesn't exist yet, but I think that will not be too difficult to add. And then what it will do in the pre-command, it will inform trace loop which cgroup should be monitored. Since that doesn't exist yet, I'll try to do that with systemd unit. So that's what I have here. That's why you can maybe see here. I will show it in a different screen. Here, I have systemd unit which runs some program here. Yeah, just a shell script. And I have a pre-command which informs trace loop over its HTTP API to add a specific cgroup, and then a post command to ask it to dump the syscalls, the last syscalls in the ring buffer. So the demo, let's try to do that. Yes. So here it is. I started a trace loop in a daemon form. And then let me start to try to start this thing, and then here I get all the output from that systemd unit. And because of the post command, I'm expecting to see the last system calls at the bottom. So here I'm filtering on some things where I see the BC program called the right system call and so on. Okay, so that's the same thing here. I would like to integrate that with systemd status so we can have this kind of information directly in the systemd tools. And that's about it from my talk. There is lots of work pending on GitHub that was necessary for this work to in GoBPF, in BCC, and in Kubernetes. That's it. Thank you. Is there any question?
Well, as you can see from your wish list for systemd run, the trouble is starting up the trace loop in advance for a process that crashes early, right? Does the same problem still exist on Kubernetes? That if you have a pod which basically crashes during startup, that you can't really capture things because you don't have a pod yet to manually specify, hey.
yes, that's possible to do because on. So the normal way to deploy things on Kubernetes is you deploy a deployment, and then that will create pods, but you don't know in advance the name of the pod. Mm-hmm. So you cannot just say kubectl gadget trace this pod name because you don't know the name of the pod yet if it is an early crash. But you can filter things by label. So if you have a deployment, you know the label in advance. So you can kubectl gadget exec snoop if you want to trace execution or open snoop or any gadgets, and use the label filter that.
And that works even if the label doesn't yet exist?
Yes. So how it works at the moment is with string comparison in BPF, which is not ideal, but that's a proof of concept. And what I want to change it to is using an ID system, which it will still work with this use case where you want to trace from the very beginning of the pod. So it works because I have the OCI hook. Right before the pod is started, runc will execute that script and get the information about the C groups on Kubernetes labels.
Okay, thanks you.
Welcome.
Do you have already some overhead numbers? Like, can I just run trace loop in a production process that keeps on crashing randomly? Or is it still too heavy or too much overhead?
I've not done any check number on overhead. I think one of my colleagues did, but I don't know. I will not expect it much because when it's when you don't ask for the information, then it's trace loop will just write in a ring buffer, which is normally very fast. So it doesn't actually does any context switch or anything like that. But I don't have numbers, sorry. Otherwise, it's not really ready for production because of other problems. It needs to be more tested and debugged.
You mentioned that the ring buffer captures events. How big is that ring buffer? Is it configurable? And is it possible to have something else as a backing store for that so that you can make your ring buffer big enough to capture a very long series of events?
At the moment, it's not configurable. I think I set it to 8 megabytes, but I just choose that randomly. And it's a different ring buffer for each CPU because otherwise, if you have several writers to the same ring buffer, that will not work correctly. So there is each CPU has its own ring buffer, and each application as well. So different C groups have different ring buffer, different set of ring buffer for each CPU. So I'm not quite sure which size it should be, but perf ring buffer is only something in memory. That's not something which can be backed on disk. But one of my colleagues did something where it regularly fetched the information from the ring buffer in memory and keep it. But my idea was just to have something to get the last events, not necessarily everything. I think that will not be scalable to trace all the system calls for every single time and dump them somewhere.
So I want to ask, how do you garbage collect the buffers because they outlive the C group that they monitor, if I understand correctly? And then the second question, how reliable is pointer dereferencing? Is it always reliable? Because like, I can imagine that your BPF program may be scheduled after the application that you are monitoring, and then the application already may have changed the contents of the memory that syscall saw. I mean, the kernel saw when you entered the syscall, right?
Right. So for the first question, so far, each ring buffer is has a reference from the trace loop daemon. So if you kill that daemon, then the reference disappears and the memory is freed. But so far, I don't have anything to release it after a little while. My idea was after some minutes or hours, I don't really know, after it has crashed, and remove it. But as a proof of concept, I just keep them forever until the user specifically type close this. For the second question about what happens if we try to stress some start the tracing system after a pod has already been started. In this case, you're right, it will not trace it because I start monitoring a specific C group in the OCI hook, which if it's not run, if you have not yet installed it, then it will not catch things. So yeah, that's a limitation, but the idea will be to have a trace loop always installed on the system. So it runs as a daemon set on Kubernetes and to have it all the time. Other questions? Then thank you. I will be here during the conference if you want to talk to me about BPF or trace loop or something.